Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
So today we're closing out this series that we've been in. And even though it's been our There Is Not One Feeble Person Among Us healing campaign, I don't want you to allow that campaign to end. I want you to use that, what we've been sharing, what we've been talking about, what we've been embracing and engaging and executing throughout this whole time. I want you to maintain that in the name of Jesus. You know, the best time to learn how to receive healing is when you're not hurting. So I don't wait till something is wrong with my body before I start believing God for my healing. See, I get in the habit of being healed. Come on, write that down. Write that down. I want to get in the habit of being healed. I want to get in the habit of being healed. So you don't wait till something happens to your body. You don't wait till a doctor's diagnosis or prognosis. You don't wait till you start feeling something or feeling feverish or feeling one of those, uh-oh. No. You get in the habit of being healed. You learn to receive your healing when you're feeling good. Now, if you take this seriously, what I'm saying, then when something tries to attack your body, you'll already be ahead of it instead of trying to play catch up. Praise the Lord. So I want you to find two passages of scripture. I want you to find Psalms 86, verse 15, and then Isaiah 54, verse 10. In this healing campaign, one of the things that God has brought out was he wanted us to center on his compassion so that we understand that it is his compassionate nature that responds to us when we're hurting, that responds to us when we are infirmed, that responds to us when we're enduring weakness or feebleness. It's his compassion. And compassion is not a feeling, it is a force. It is a spiritual force, glory to God, that comes to the aid of one who's in need. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, we're going to look at quite a bit of scripture today as I close this out. I want you to see this today as we look at this. Blessed be God forever. Now, let me remind you of something that I have given you. Let's start like this. We said healing is a compassionate connection. I'm just going to drive that home. We've been talking about that. Healing is a compassionate connection. Two, we looked at that healing is an action of compassion. Now, why is this so important? Then it'll make it easier for you to build your faith around that and understand that when you're receiving healing, when you're believing for healing, it's not just about you stepping out of or getting out of pain or discomfort or disease. No. I'm actually believing just to receive my Father's compassion. I can do that. I can do that. I can receive his compassion. See, because a lot of times if you center on the pain going away or whatever's wrong in your body and you center on that, now your criteria is you're going to establish this unconsciously. You're going to establish this criteria that I'm here when I know it's gone, when I'm not feeling this way. And so you're going to base your identity on the outcome of a test, doctors, what they say, or a feeling. And no, you got to base it on the word of God. I mean, my God is compassionate. So healing is a compassionate connection. Healing is an action of compassion. Three, compassionate acts have to be believed. Compassionate acts have to be believed. And then finally, four, compassionate acts have to be received. They have to be received. Now, I know y'all think, you know, Pastor Cheryl is sweet and all like that, and oh, she just treats Pastor Mark so wonderfully. And she does, she does. But on my end, I have to receive that. Because if I'm not responding to anything she does, it will deter what she does. I have to receive it. And it's the same thing with God. So that's why God has us centered on his compassion. He said, Mark, tell them how much I love them. He said, sometimes my children will talk about my love like it is an abstract thing. There's no connection with them. He said, I love them. I'm compassionate toward them. And he says, and my children many times start wondering, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? Why didn't God do something to keep this from happening to me? Don't put your hands up. I'll put my hand up. We all have been there. But you know the thing about it? It had nothing to do with God's love and compassion for us. It had everything to do with the devil trying to convince you God don't love you. Look, he let this happen. Look, isn't that what he told Eve? Hath God said? Start questioning God's compassionate love for them. God made them, put them in a garden, and now Satan comes to convince her and persuade her. God's been holding back on you. Look, he's doing you wrong. And there was nobody else for them to compare themselves to. It was just Adam and Eve. But she still doubted. And it's the same thing with you. When something happens to you, you think that, well, why did God give me this kind of body? What else kind of body you want him to give you? Well, why I got to go through this? You're going to testify of his goodness to others. And you're going to show that no matter what the devil brings against one of God's children, God is still faithful. Say, my God is faithful.
My God is faithful.
So you have to understand, instead of looking at it from the perspective that you've been looking at it from before in the past, why did this happen to me? You got to understand, okay. Like for example, anybody in here? Don't raise your hand. No, you can raise your hand. Anybody in here ever had their house broken into? Okay. Now, here's the thing. Watch this. Did you ask the question, why did this happen to me? You knew it had nothing to do with you. Them jokers just invaded your property. And so instead of feeling sorry for yourself, you got angry. When I went out in the backyard, I started yelling. If you're back here hiding, come on out. I was ready to lay my hands on some folks. And then pray for their healing afterwards. But so just like those thieves disrespected and invaded your natural house, the adversary comes and he tries to slip in, man. And to come to invade your physical house and as a thief rob you of the health Jesus purchased for you. So there are some stuff that we had purchased for our kids that got stolen. We purchased it. The kids, they didn't have to purchase it, but we purchased it and it got stolen. So it's the same thing in understanding this. So let me give you this. The compassion of Jesus is a supernatural spiritual force that produces remedy, restoration, reconciliation, and resources. Man, that's good stuff. That's a classic Mark Robeson definition right there. Let's look at it again. The compassion of Jesus, or the compassion of God, is a supernatural spiritual force that produces remedy, restoration, reconciliation, and resources. So now, you have to understand that compassion is the key to the supernatural. Say that with me. Compassion is the key to the supernatural. Yeah. You see, it is a supernatural spiritual force that produces remedy, that produces restoration, that produces reconciliation, and that produces resources. Compassion is the key to the supernatural. When compassion shows up, power shows up, Jesus. So we have to understand that God wants us to access his compassion as we're standing in faith for our healing. It's not just about the pain leaving. Yeah, we want the pain to go. But the pain leaving doesn't determine you're healed. You knowing you're healed determines that the pain will go. You see the difference? See, I don't wait till the pain leaves to say I'm healed. I have to catch a revelation of what God has already done for me and connect my identity to that and begin speaking in agreement with that. And it has to become my new reality of being healed. Now when I declare I'm healed, it's because my healing is real to me. While I'm in pain, my healing is real to me. While that disease is in my body, but my healing is real to me. While the doctor is still saying, I don't know. My healing is real to me. And this is where how you can cause your healing to become real to you is when you allow God's compassion to become real to you. I pray I'm making sense for you. So you should be at Psalms 86. Let's read some scripture now. Psalms 86, verse number 15, it says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion." Well, now I got to ask you a question, because our subject title of this teaching series is Jesus is my healer. Everyone say, the Lord is my healer. Everyone say, the Lord is my healer. So now he says God is full of compassion. So I got to ask you a question. Is God full of healing? Yes. All right. So if God is full of compassion and God is full of healing, then wherever there's healing, there will be compassion. And wherever there's compassion, there will be healing. Can you see that? God is a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Okay, flip over to Psalms 145. Psalms 145, verse number 8. And it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." He's full of compassion. So I share with you in this teaching series that when you don't release your faith to receive your healing, you're actually resisting the compassion of God. It's just like this. Every mother in here knows that when their child was sick, you know, as and I know Krishan still has some young ones, and the rest of us kids are older, but when your child was young and was sick and you go extend yourself to help them, take this baby. And if they say, no, I'm not taking it. No, and they resist you, that doesn't make you happy. You're not going to walk off and say, stay sick then. You're not going to do that. I don't care how upset you may get. You might get a little firmer. You're going to take this medicine. You're going to drink this soup. You're going to do what's necessary. You want to know why? Because the child does not know. Period. Well, it's the same thing. Listen, I don't care what has happened in your life, what has happened in your body, what has happened to you mentally, emotionally, or financially. You got to understand you don't know the full plan that God has for your life. And he wants you to cooperate with it by believing what he's provided for you to have right now when the devil is trying to get you to quit. Throw in the towel. Give up. What's the use? Okay. So Psalms 145 and 8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. All right. Go with me your Bibles to Isaiah 54:10. Isaiah 54:10. I want you to see this verse in the light of everything that we've been sharing, and we'll look even further into this. Isaiah 54:10. Everyone say, the Lord is my healer.
The Lord is my healer.
And he's always ready to heal me. So by understanding that, the Lord is my healer. Say it again, the Lord is my healer. And he's always ready to heal me. Okay, everyone look up here, look up here, look up here. Everyone on Zoom, look at me, look at me. You got to catch this. When you're declaring, the Lord is my healer, that declaration and that truth automatically positions you to resist everything that comes against that. If the Lord is my healer, then everything that says I'm not healed or that he's not doing it for me, I got to resist. See, there is a spiritual responsibility and there is a natural responsibility. You have to understand that. You have to do what is necessary that God leads you to do for that declaration, for that truth to be manifested and maintained in your life. You receive that? Okay, look at this. Look at this. Since y'all love that so much. Isaiah 54:1, verse 10. If you have it, say, I have it. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. Notice what God says. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. God has mercy on me and mercy toward me. Now, keep your finger there. Keep your finger there. Glory to God. I told you I'm looking at a lot of scripture this morning. We're going to come right back to Isaiah 54. Flip over, though, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Excuse me, I got you close. I got you close. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. My bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Yes, 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 yes. One verse, verse number 3. Then we're going to go right back to Isaiah 54:10. What am I purposing to do right now? I'm just, man, building this thing within you that God's compassion is directed toward you and it's always there. And it's so directed toward you that he made a covenant so that you'll understand blood has flown so you can always know no matter what you are facing, no matter what you're going through, you have, not going to get, you have the compassion of God. Okay, look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what the Bible calls him. The Father of, say it,
mercies.
the Father of mercies. Notice how mercies is plural. He could have also stated, you're the Father of compassions. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The Father of mercies. Now, he's the Father of mercies. All right, leave that place, but you still got Isaiah 54. Keep your finger there. And go to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Watch this. Now it says they call God the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. I said to you that he could have easily been the Father of compassions. All right, Lamentations chapter 3, look at verse 21. This I recall to my mind. So now, let's stop. Everyone look, stop. Everyone stop. So now this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to recall this to your mind. Because when you get hit, the first thing you do is focus on where your discomfort is. You focus on what's happening to you. So you focus on the pain, the problem, the pressure. Or if you're having problems with people, you focus on them. Even when you leave their presence, you're thinking about them. This is where you got to act on the word of God and do what the Bible says to do. Look what it says. This I recall to my mind, therefore. When you do this and recall it to your mind, it says, therefore have I hope. Hope? Yeah, hope, expectation. But you got to do the recalling. You got to keep your mind, what does the Bible say? Stayed on him. I got to recall it. There's a covenant word in the Bible. In the King James Version, it says this. It says, do this in remembrance of him. Remembrance is a covenant word. That means, like if you had an eagle's talon, y'all know what an eagle's talon is, right? And if it was stuck right in the middle of your forehead, no matter which direction you looked, you couldn't help but see the eagle's talon. And that's what he says. That's how I want you to always think of my covenant with you. That no matter what you see, you have to see whatever you're facing through that covenant rather than through your pain. Ah, I hope I'm making sense. So it says, therefore, I recall to my mind, therefore I have a hope. Look at verse 22. Oh, watch this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Come on. Look at somebody and tell them, you're going to get through this too. You're going to get through this too. I'm telling everybody on Zoom. Whatever you're facing, whatever pain you've been experiencing, whatever problem you've had, whether it was this week, last week, or it's been enduring, because of the Lord's mercies, you are not consumed. You're getting through that too. Yes. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And everybody with the King James Version, read the last part of this verse. Come on, read. Because his compassions fail not. What? Notice compassions is plural. I told you that it could have easily, over in 2 Corinthians 1:3, could have easily been where it says the Father of mercies, it could have been the Father of compassions. All right. Now go to Isaiah 54 again. And this is where we're going to camp for the rest of today. Isaiah 54. Look at this. Are y'all getting this? Okay. Isaiah 54, verse number 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. Now, what is he saying? See, a lot of times we read scripture like this and we don't connect with it. It doesn't have no bearing on us. Like right here, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about if earthquakes occurred, he's trying to build you an imagery to let you know no matter how devastating things may seem, here's the truth. Look at this. He says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness And the Hebrew word for that word kindness is what I shared with you earlier in this teaching series. It's the word that's spelled H-E-S-E-D, chesed. Chesed. What does it mean? Covenant fidelity. Covenant kindness. Covenant fidelity. Covenant kindness. There are some benefits that just automatically come to you because you're in covenant. You're in covenant. Amen. It's my compassionate connection that establishes the healing manifestation that takes place in my body and in my life. All right, he says, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Stop. Now, remember I mentioned about the eagle's talent. You're going to have to start viewing life from this. God's covenant kindness, his covenant fidelity, his chesed never departs from me. Never, never. I'm in pain. It never departs. What will this covenant kindness or this covenant fidelity produce? Well, let's keep reading. He says, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. Okay, everyone here say the word peace.
Peace.
The Hebrew word for the word peace is shalom. So he's saying, look what he says, neither shall the covenant of my shalom be removed from you. Well, what is shalom? It's where nothing missing, nothing broken, and nothing feeble. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing feeble. Shalom, wholeness, peace. And he says, it won't be removed. So you got to begin, like that eagle's talon, right in your forehead, no matter where you look, you couldn't help but see the talon. You got to now renew your mind to Isaiah 54 and 10 and see God's compassion released in your behalf. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Watch this, watch this. The Amplified Classic says of this verse, it says, for though the mountains should depart and the hills be shaken or removed, yet my love and kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace and completeness, say wholeness.
Wholeness.
My covenant of peace and completeness be removed, says the Lord, watch this, who has compassion on you. There it is again. I'm going to receive my healing. I'm going to live in healing. All right? Let me give you one more translation. Glory to God. Listen to this. From the NIV. Let me give you the message. Then I'll give you the NIV. The Message Bible of this one verse, Isaiah 54 and 10 says, for even if the mountains walk away and the hills fall to pieces, my love won't walk away from you. Watch this. My covenant commitment of peace won't fall apart. I'm going to get my healing. It says, the God who has compassion on you says so. That's from the Message translation. Everyone lift your hands right where you are. Just lift your hands. Come on, lift your hands. And say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive
the compassion of God
in my life,
and
affecting my body. Yes, I receive the compassion of God in my life and affecting my body. It's causing an effect. All right? And so the NIV says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. He has compassion on you. I want to submit this to you that I want you to write out Isaiah 54 and 10 so you can see it somewhere, whether it's in the car, whether it's in your bathroom, whether it's in your bedroom. Write out Isaiah 54 and 10 Look back at it. Look back at it. But now we're going to make it personal. See? You're not going to look at this verse abstractly. You're going to make it personal. Look what it says. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. So you, as you write it, then underneath it, you write, no matter what circumstance may happen or what problem I may go through, God's kindness shall not depart from me. You put your name there. God's kindness shall not depart from Mark Roberson. Neither shall the covenant of God's peace, his wholeness, be removed from Mark Roberson, saith the Lord that has mercy and compassion on Mark Roberson. Well, you put your name in there. And you do it just like I just said. And so when you get the rebroadcast, you can listen to this again, but you can write that thing out. And just like the eagle's talon, no matter where you look, you couldn't help but see the talon. No matter what you're looking at, see Isaiah 54 and 10 for right now, in this season of your life. Get this thing in your spirit to where it becomes more real to you than the pain. Right now, some of us, we are more pain conscious than we are Word of God conscious. We are more problem conscious than we are Word of God conscious. We are more pressure conscious. And so now that, man, that thing is affecting us. So I want you to take this one verse and you drill this thing into your heart and you become established in this. God's kindness, his covenant fidelity, his chesed shall not depart from me, and neither shall his covenant of peace, his covenant of shalom, be removed from me. I have his wholeness right now. I have his wholeness right now. I gotta end. Everyone say this. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, everybody on Zoom. Say this with me. Say in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody. In the name of Jesus.
I
am not going to allow the devil to talk me out of the compassion of God. Say
in the name of Jesus.
I am not going to allow
pain
to talk me out of
the
compassion of God.
One more time.
In the name of Jesus,
I am not going to allow
sickness and disease
to talk me out of
the compassion of God.
God is full of compassion.
Let's look at two more instances where his compassion was demonstrated. Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and we will be done. Mark chapter 1, verse number 40. And there came a leper to him, to Jesus, beseeching him or begging him, and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, everyone, please understand this. When you're in pain, when you're going through pressure, problems, a storm, I don't ever want you again to pray, Lord, if it's your will, do this. It is his will. You have his compassion. Well, this leper did not know that. Look at this. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Look at verse 41. And Jesus, everybody read, moved with compassion. Now, we got the definition. What did y'all write as the definition for compassion? Come on, look back at your notes. What is compassion? It is a spiritual force. What? They say, Pastor Mark, I got so many notes here. Lord have mercy. It is a supernatural spiritual force that produces what? Remedy, what? Restoration, come on. Reconciliation and resources. Well, this brother's a leper. What does he need to take place in his life? He needs remedy and restoration, right? Because when you're a leper, sometimes, Talene, It could be, all depends on how the disease hit your body. Sometimes an earlobe could fall off. Or you would have, man, part of your skin would deteriorate. It's nothing for, you can lose a finger or something, because leprosy would eat up limbs on the body. So he not only needed remedy to be healed of it, he needs some stuff to be restored. And so look what the Bible says. Jesus was moved by this spiritual, supernatural force of compassion to bring or cause remedy, restoration, reconciliation, and resources. Look what it says. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will. Now that's the answer to your prayer. That's why I never pray, Lord, if it's your will. I will be thou clean. So he's saying to you, I will be out of pain. I will be healed. I will be restored. I will no longer be sick. You have to take that stand now and believe this. And look at verse 42. And as soon as he had spoken, now circle the word spoken in your Bible, everyone. Now if something or if someone is speaking to you, what would you have to do?
Respond.
So it says here, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Notice what was wrong in the man's body responded. And so you and I, as children of God, we got to believe this, that when I receive God's word, this thing that's wrong with me, this thing that's going on in me, this thing that's happening to me, it's responding to God. I may not see it. See, you can't see leprosy leaving. Look what it says. As soon as he has spoken, immediately the leprosy departed. I submit to you, when it said the leprosy departed, it was first indicating the spirit of leprosy leaving and the conditions it caused leaving. Because behind every situation is a spiritual force. And so you got to respond. If you believe something has left you, how are you going to act? Come on, yeah, brother, you're going to act with joy. Yes, I'm not going to be dragging myself around because I still feel this. No. It's responding to Jesus' compassionate word to me. So now I got to walk and live in expectation, adoration, appreciation, jubilation, because I'm here. His covenant, I'm looking at this thing through Isaiah 54:10. His kindness has not departed from me. His covenant of shalom, his covenant of peace hasn't been removed from me. God has demonstrated his compassion to me, and I'm going to walk that way. But what if it don't work, Pastor Mark? There you go. You might as well just turn in your believer credentials tonight. You don't believe. You are establishing your believing on an erroneous criteria. You're waiting to see something. You're waiting to feel something. You're waiting to hear something before you establish that you know something. Okay. Hallelujah. And then right there in Mark chapter 1, this last one, look at verse number 30. Did I get something today?
Amen.
Okay. Look at verse 30. But Simon's wife's mother, how many of y'all know God heals mother-in-laws too? Oh, Jesus. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And anon, or soon, they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand. That's when he released compassion. And lifted her up. And immediately, the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. In verse number 42, it says, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed. In verse number 31, it says, when he took her by the hand and lifted her up, immediately the fever left her. I'm ending this series on this note right here. God wants you to begin raising your faith to believe for immediate departure of what's been going wrong. Y'all didn't get excited enough. I'm going home. Y'all didn't get excited enough. Immediately. He said expect it immediately to go. So you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit, show me how to believe that way. Because we don't know how to believe that way. You're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit, show me how to respond that way so I can position myself for this thing that's been going wrong to immediately leave. If Jesus did it for one, he has to do it for another or he'll be a respecter of persons. And he's no respecter of persons. Y'all see that today? Come on, stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Come on. Yeah, put your hands together. Let's give God some praise.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.